Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show. And today we've got our guest all the way in America, Mike Cleland. How you going, Mike?
Very well. How are you doing?
Good, good. It's good to have you on the show. Now you're an experiencer and a blogger, and we got in contact by you contacting me, coincidentally hearing me on with Susan, and you heard about the owl story, and you're sort of specializing in the owl experience and synchronicity. You've got a blog site, hiddenexperience.blogspot.com, where you sort of go on a personal journey and you research a large variety of things, but you're sort of honing on those two things at the moment. Would you mind telling the audience how you got into this area? Obviously, you had, an experience with the owl or more, and yeah.
Well, let's see, it's 2013 now. So in 2006, which is 7 years ago, which seems a long time ago, that was at a point in my life where I hadn't been looking into my own experiences. I had some experiences. I could talk about them, and I could even talk about them like quite openly. But I never quite trusted the implications. I was in kind of I like it. I could talk about them, but I didn't want to face what they might have implied. I had to, as a so I'm 51 years old now. So as a 12-year-old boy, I had a missing time event along with someone else. We saw something in the nighttime sky that was just an orange flash in my from what I remember, and then I was got home about 2 hours late. And my parents were angry at me for being out so late, and I knew what time it was, but it didn't jive. When I got home, I should have been. So I've lost between about an hour and a half to 2 hours of time. There's a couple other events, seeing a UFO, and then one time where I actually woke up in the middle of the night, and this felt very dreamlike, so it was very easy to dismiss. But I woke up in the middle of the night, sat up in bed. There was bright light pouring in the bedroom window. Bedroom window was pushed right up against the bed, or the bed was pushed right up against the bedroom window, and I looked outside, and there were five, like, spindly gray beings with the big black eyes right outside my window. And I sort of I was looking at the light behind them. It's very strange. I was kind of more interested in the light behind them than them. And at just a not too long after looking at them and the light, I heard this voice in my head. It's hard to know whether it was my voice or it was somehow projected, say, "Now is the time to shut down. Now is the time to put your head on the pillow and shut down." And that's exactly what I did. I just dismissed that as nothing more than a dream. In follow-up years, I'm wonder about what the events of that night. Now, so those are all in my past, and I knew about those things, and I had been reading UFO books, and I kind of knew there might be a day when I needed to look into this stuff. And it was around that time, starting in October of 2006, that I started seeing owls, and to the point where it was a little bit absurd. I was seeing so many owls, and I live in a place with a lot of owls. I live right near, even if you might even be familiar with Yellowstone National Park. So I live fairly close to that area. So big wilderness area near me, lots of owls, lots of wildlife. But I was seeing the owls at a rate that was a little absurd. And it initially it kind of freaked me out, and along with the owls, right around that same time, I started experiencing a lot of synchronicities. So some of those were quite profound. So what was happening was I felt like there was a need to look into this stuff. I recognized that inside of me, that this need to explore and to look into my own experiences. I wasn't doing it. I was kind of making any excuse to keep it, at arm's length. The owls and the synchronicities started happening at a rate that was kind of freaking me out. So between 2006 and 2009, where I was kind of freaked out at how much weirdness was going on around me. So it was less the actual events, seeing a UFO and missing time and such like that forced me to look into my own experiences, and more the owls and the synchronicities. And I kind of treat those the same way. Like I almost treat an owl sighting the same as a synchronicity. In a way, there's sort of a magic to it. And I'm not talking about just like driving down the road and seeing an owl off on the side of the road, off in the distance. I'm talking about some very strange experiences with the owls. So what that did now, what is it, 7 years later, one of the questions I've been asking, I've been talking to a lot of people, and that's been my form of therapy in a way, is just to reach out and talk to folks. And I'll even include you in that. That was, what we did. We talked for, I don't know, a couple hours the other day, and for me, that was almost a form of therapy. Actually, I'll take that back. It was a form of therapy. Like, I need that connection to folks who had similar experiences.
That's what this is
And
for me sometimes too, or most of the time. That's what doing this is about. It helps.
I've also, I think that it helps, like, a percentage of the listeners or the viewers are gonna
Exactly.
hopefully are drawn to it for reasons other than entertainment. The owls. So one of the questions I would ask everyone is, hey, like, any experiences with owls, any odd experiences with owls? And surprisingly, a lot of people, not 100%, but the people I was drawn to, or the people who were drawn to me, were saying, yes, I have had some very strange experience with owls. So little by little, I kind of turned that into a focus, kind of selfish on my part, because I've had enough experiences of my own that it feels really personal. But at the same time, it was it was owls are like a tiny, tiny part of like the overall giant phenomenon, and like it to try to study the grand, great, big, wide phenomena of like the paranormal and the UFO and psychic stuff. I mean, there's no one core event. I mean, it's all somehow, there's a gray zone where everything overlaps everything else.
Yep.
And I figured, oh, I'll just like study the owl thing. I'll write a paper up on it. It'll be done. No big deal. And what I found is that it's a bottomless pit. I'm finding so much information. So many people are connecting to me, contacting me with their stories. And, on one level, it's fascinating. So it is really great. And there's the owl thing is kind of has a, it's not so scary. It's got a benign, kind of pleasant side to it. So it doesn't seem like I'm going down the murky depths of like the darkest part of the psyche in a way. So that's actually has been a really pleasant way to try to research this. So the owls, in a way, is just like a, what do you call it? Like a starting point for me, or a focal point for me, so I can try to make sense of the bigger experience.
Yeah, and we spoke about it the other day that it's good that you're honing in, and even you said it yourself, you sort of got to hone in on a couple of areas because you just can't cover the whole paranormal, UFO, metaphysical. You just can't cover everything and do it at a level where, not an expert, because nobody's sort of an expert because we don't know exactly, like we're talking about. I think this is going to be a lot stranger than just UFOs and the interdimensional aspect of what's going on. But it's good that you're honing in on a couple of areas and sort of just getting into the nitty-gritty there than just covering everything and trying to do it on a level where you're getting into the depth of things because it's almost, well, it is impossible because there's a large variety of aspects to what's going on here. But going into the owls, we spoke about the other day how it was a lot bigger than what you thought. Just instead of just UFOs and abductions and the owl connection, and I surmised this before talking to you that there's something bigger about it. And you're telling me how it's not just UFO abductees or experiences that are witnessing these owls. There's people that have never had those type of experiences, not that they know of, that have had these encounters with big owls.
It's go on.
I just wanted to get you to talk a little bit about that, how it's bigger than just, being a UFO experience and seeing ours. There's other people out there just having the same stuff.
The so there's a few things. So there are real owls, right? The real owls, they're
Real
feathers, and they're like real owls, and they're
owls.
not that big. They only get about what I'm here's where my hand, a big owl would be. Let me just see that. That's an
Yeah.
adult owl of most sizes. If they get any bigger than that's a big owl. What's happening, there's something called a screen memory. And if they've read any of UFO abduction books, I'm going to be repeating something that they already know. but where the implication is that the experiencer is at the receiving end of some sort of psychic projection. And for some reason, the entity, the alien, is choosing the disguise, the psychic disguise of an owl. And so, I have so many stories where people say they were driving down the road at night, they turned a corner in front of them, and the headlight was a 4-foot-tall owl. They pulled right up to it, and it was taller than the front of their car, right? So the head of the owl was peeking at them over the top of the car, and they were like, it was the strangest thing. And then then all of a sudden it was gone, and I got home and I was 2 hours late. Through hypnotic regression, perhaps it would come out that that was not an owl at all, and it was some sort of screen memory, a projection into the psyche of the experiencer, that that shows up owls in bedrooms, owls that are so much larger than they should be, owls doing things that they shouldn't do. Now, so that's one whole category, and that really is cleanly in the realm of the UFO abductee or experiencer or contactee. I kind of use those terms all interchangeably.
Yep.
On the other end is what would be real owls. Owls that are about the right size for an owl, that have feathers, that do things that owls do, like fly and land in trees and stuff like that. And so those show up. Like, here, I'll give you one perfect example. A guy is camping down in Arizona in the desert, and oh my gosh, I gotta someone's trying to call me here. I might have to give him a note, because he's going to be a pest if I don't. This is actually another UFO researcher, and I was going to ask him about owls. Oh, I'm gonna sorry about this. I'm going to
You're
type
right.
I'm on an interview. View, sorry. There we go. Good. Okay, there, I just declined the call. Sorry, that okay, we're back. So guys camping, him and his buddy are camping in Arizona in the desert. Beautiful starry night, plenty of ambient light to see. They look up on a big cactus looming above them. Looking down on them is an owl, real owl, just the correct size. Doing this, something an owl would do is land on top of a cactus. And it flies away after a little bit. And then moments later, there a giant triangular UFO flies silently above them and silently, flies off into the distance. He's convinced they're related, the owl sighting and the UFO sighting. I don't know why. I don't know what it means. I have a lot of those kinds of stories in my files. Now, so he's a UFO witness. Now, later, after talking to him, and it's not my job to call anyone a contactee or an abductee, but he certainly has told some stories that play out like he's a contactee, telling stories of in his youth of being in his bedroom, not knowing why, but turning off all the lights, and then it felt like time had stopped and he was sort of in this dimensional shift as a little boy, and then all of a sudden he snaps back to waking memory, and he's got a bloody nose. So that's the same person that had that owl experience by the cactus. Now, what I'm also finding is that people who have profound spiritual experiences or a transformative spiritual experience, and there's a near-death researcher named Suzanne Gordon, and she uses that term STE, a spiritual transformative experience, or transformative. SDE, spiritual transformative experience, which is a great catchphrase for any number of things. I've talked to people who have taken, as part of a shamanic initiation, as part of their shamanic role, they take a ton of mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, and trip. And they, a great owl, a great white owl comes and speaks to them. So there's this, it shows up with that. It shows up. I have a story of someone who was planning on committing suicide, and this I wanted this person's very private, so I don't want to share too much, but this person was literally driving to the spot where they had chosen to commit suicide as a teenager. They were at the end of the rope. They were severely depressed. As they were driving to the spot, an owl flew up to the windshield. This person puts the brakes on. The car is slowing down. The owl is back flying, sort of like trying to stay right in front of the windshield. They lock eyes for a second, or actually, this person said about 10 seconds they locked eyes, and then the owl flew off. The point of this story is this person is still here. This person didn't go through with the suicide. So, like an owl intervened at someone's, they were on the precipice of giving their life away, and this owl intervened, and this person is still here. So there are these experiences, and often I've, and a lot of times owls have throughout mythology, throughout the grand mythology of all through human history, whether it's it seems to be all over the planet, owls have the same mythology where they're somehow connected to death. So there's been a lot of stories that are related to. I've got a few where there's a premonition of death, where an owl shows up and then later someone dies. Those are actually, I don't have that many of them. I'm sure there's some out there. What I have instead is a loved one dies. Literally, someone leaves the hospital, and there's an owl standing in the grass as they exit the hospital, and doesn't fly away when they walk up to. They'll walk right up to this owl, real owl, not big, you know, just a, and they can walk right up to this owl, and they're convinced that that owl is somehow connected to the spirit of their dead relative, whether it's their father. Most of the time, it's a father. And actually, now that I think about it, I have three stories that involve the father that play out very similar to that. So, I, you know, when I do actually go through and ask some of these folks, you know, like, do you have any experiences that might be considered UFO type experiences? I try to ease into it, not just, and surprisingly, more often than not, they do. So there is this blurry line. Like I originally wanted it to be in this tidy little box, you know, this perfect little project that just had this confines, and I could just I could quantify things in a really clean way. But that's not what's happening. It's kind of spreading out all over the map, and I'm just letting it spread out wherever it wants to go. So I'm letting the I'm trying anyway to let the data dictate where I go rather than me try to dictate where the data goes.
Yeah, no, and that's the perfect way to go about it. Now, the video is just frozen, so this is going to have to just be an audio show just to use. We're wondering if there was a video version of it, but it's okay. We'll just leave it as it is at the moment. It might kick
Oh,
back
did I
in.
seize up?
Yeah, on the I'd say it would be this end, because I can still see that I'm coming up fine. So,
Terry,
but
let me try something. I'm going to try keep.
all right.
How's that? Am I moving now?
Oh, there we go. There we
Okay, just tell
go.
me. Just tell me if I do. Now, was I
Yeah,
in a
I
really
didn't want
awkward
to cut
pose?
you off either because I was finding what you're saying fascinating, especially about the getting to the hospital part just with somebody going out, because there seems to be what I didn't realize until talking to you, where you've opened up my mind on the other aspects of this, is how the physical owl, its appearance and how it's showing up at times. You know, it's not just the 4 foot dudes that I've seen that we've talked about. It's going into the real live living owl as well, and how they can rock up at weird times. Sort of like at the start of your PDF, the owls and the UFO abductees, you talk about your first original experience up in the mountain with your friend, and the owls came down and were flying over you. You know, that sort of thing where the synchronicity aspect, and the also the aspect of, and you ask me good questions. I've got to say that to you, because you ask questions that people wouldn't think about normally who are researching. As in, you ask me what I was thinking or talking about before the experience and after the experience. Now, a lot of the time, people just want to know about the actual experience, and I wouldn't have told you unless you had asked me about that. So it's pretty funny of what I thought about, I was talking about at the time. One experience I just knew to go out to where I went out to. The other one, where I was talking to somebody and she said to me that something's about to happen, and I felt that also. These are just little things where some people wouldn't normally look at. Now, have you found a lot of commonalities with that, with what people are thinking or knowing something is about to happen? Or going out to areas they don't know why they've got to go out, and then they have an experience like this.
Well, it's not 100%. So that's a So you don't get 100% of the people giving you a perfect answer. But what happens, like more than you would think, is that you ask someone, "Oh, you saw a UFO? Like what were you thinking right before you saw the UFO?" And more, unlike more, well, it happens enough that it's a pattern. They'll say, "You know what I was thinking? I was thinking I want to see a UFO." And then one will appear. Or a synchronicity oftentimes will play out where you'll have some sort of, well, like what I just shared earlier, where I had been in a place where I knew I needed to look into these experiences. I knew I wanted to look into them. I was very reticent. I was very frightened. I was very, denial is as good a word as any. And then the owls showed up. The synchronicity showed up, and then I looked into them. So before I was afraid to look into them, the owls kind of played the role of alarm clock in a way, and they woke me up. And then I went ahead and really started to dig into my own experiences. Should I tell the story about the Kristen and I that you read in the?
Yeah, because I reckon that's cool, and I've read a few, probably about 10 pages into it, because I had to get into it today, and I'm going to read the whole thing because the way you've put it together is easy to read, straight to the point, and the synchronicity sort of things of how things are sort of happening one after the other, and talking to other people, like you said, like in the I think you went to an abduction support group and.
At
See,
a
that's
conference, yeah.
really cool stuff because it's very common. But yeah, no, go into that story.
So this would have been the event in 2006. This would have been my initial owl event. I live in a small town right butted up against Grand Teton National Park, and there was a friend of mine. Actually, it's interesting. I had just met her. She worked. I knew where she worked, and she was spending the summer here working at through some other an outdoor program, and it was probably September, October. I think it would have been early October, which is still very pleasant where I live here. And I said to her, "Oh, you've been probably camping a lot all summer, huh?" And she said, "No, I haven't been camping at all." I was like, "Oh, we got to go camping." I go out all the time, which I do. I'll go out for one night, just hike into the mountains, sleep under the stars, come back. I can be back at my desk by, lunchtime.
Awesome.
So I said, "Well, when if I do it, I'll call you." So a few days later, I called her up. She said, "Yes." We packed our packs. We left probably around dinner time and late in the afternoon. Didn't walk that many miles, maybe 4 miles in, and there's a beautiful, amazing spot where we were camping. And I was cooking on a little camp stove, and we were sitting on this big flat rock, and this beautiful meadow of wildflowers. The sun was setting, the moon was rising. It was really spectacular. And this was at a point when, like, this person was a stranger to me. And it was right at that moment I kind of thought, like, this is a really smart, amazing person. I couldn't remember exactly what she was talking about, but I knew it was right at that moment. I was like, wow, I'm impressed. You're smarter and more spiritual than I would have guessed. And it was right at that moment an owl flew over us, and then another owl,
And these were real owls.
and then a third owl. Yes, these are real owls. So three owls. Real. I mean, they were like you. They would land in front of us. We could see their feathers. They were only about this big. They would land on branches. They were doing all the things that owls would do. So, but it was funny. Even in the moment, I had read enough UFO stuff to like be like, okay, like I got to test for screen memories. Is there anything strange here? And no, they were. I feel very confident saying they were real owls. So it went on for, I'm going to say, about an hour, where the sky is steadily getting darker. The moon is coming up, the stars are coming out. We lay our sleeping bags down on the ground. It's a beautiful night, no need for a shelter or a tent or anything like that. So we lay down, and even when we're laying down, the owls kind of like just fly right over our faces, and there's just a 1 second where the stars are blacked out. It's amazing. It's amazing. The next morning we were both like reeling, like it was so intense. Just a few days later, I say, "Listen, I'm going to go out and camp again. You should come with me." So we went out again for one night. Went to a totally different spot in the mountains. This time was colder. We had a beautiful night the first time. We had a shelter set up, and it was kind of cold, and sun was setting. And I said, "Listen, instead of climbing into the tent chilly, let's walk up to the top of that hilltop, which wasn't too far away, watch the sunset, and then we can walk back to the tent and climb in, and we'll have the walk up to the hill and walk back down. We'll be warm." She said, "Great. We walk up to the top of the hill. We get to the top of the hill. It's beautiful with a nice panoramic view, some little shrubby trees around. And as we're sitting there, an owl lands on the tree right next to us. And then another owl. And then another owl lands on the ground. And we stay up there for like a half hour. And I'm convinced it's the same three owls. I mean, I, and once, to have it happen once was mind blowing. To have it happen again 4 days later, just completely. If Kristen were here sitting next to me and I said, it made me insane. I went insane. I lost my mind. I just threw myself into this kind of magnificence of the synchronicity and the owl. I just lost myself. She would go, yeah, you lost yourself. But now, a few years later, I start this blog up and I'm putting, and I had written this story up as a diary entry. Just the story I just told you, and that actually makes up the first 4 or 5 pages of the document you've been reading. So, but I post it online. I put it on my blog. I think it's like the second or third post I put on my blog. Initially, I didn't put any UFO stuff on the blog. It was all these synchronicities and all these, and that what I thought was a beautiful story. And I said I should get a hold of Kristen and ask her what she had since moved out of town. She was only here for the summer, and I wanted to ask her what she was talking about at that moment when the first owls appeared. So I emailed her and I say, hey, do you remember what you were talking about right when the very first owl appeared, that first night we went camping? And she said, oh, I remember exactly. She said, I was talking about the deepest, most heartfelt definition of what God meant to me. And I just thought, like, that makes just that. And at that moment, that's when the owls appeared. That makes this whole story just seem all the more mystical. And because of that, because of that one little detail, it strengthened the spiritual vibe of the whole story so much more. And I've sort of been trusting my gut on these things to sort of, I'm glad I asked her that question. So I'm glad I did the follow-up and asked her that question. Now, and I'll say that I can probably later that winter, so some months later, and I had become building and building, and I was kind of freaking out, and I was kind of realized I had to look into this stuff, this UFO stuff, word of this UFO stuff.
Sort of got
And I
obsessed with
called
it.
her, and I was getting very obsessed with it, and
Yeah, yeah.
it was something at a, I could just read a book for a number of years and just go, isn't that interesting? And put the book on the shelf and then pick up another book, and so I was reading UFO books, but I wasn't. Like at that point, something was building, and I called her up, and actually it was interesting. She was on a train. I thought that was an interesting thing. She was talking to me on a train. I just spilled my guts out. I hadn't told her any of this UFO stuff. I told her some stories that were very telling, that imply potential abduction things in my life, and she just was didn't she was not gonna mollycoddle me at all. She just basically said, quit your goddamn whining and do something. And I can't help but think that that was like, in a way, her role was to sort of not put up with any of my whining. So, I have to thank her for that. And in essence, I have done that. So I've jumped off the whatever. You kind of have to sort of step into these realms. You have to kind of jump off the cliff and abandon yourself to what might happen. And so since then I've been trying to be as honest as I can be in the online forum, in the blog, as well as in interviews and sharing stuff like this.
Yeah, no, and I know what it's like myself. I had a few people sort of, tell me to quit the whining, and but it does take a lot of guts to, some people they won't embellish or whatnot, even though there are a lot that do. But the problem is going all out, and even when people have been with me and had experiences, I've always said what I found is that they will tell what happened, but they won't tell the whole truth of what happened, in the sense that there's some trippy stuff that happened during the experience and they don't want to tell you because it's just so unbelievable, which is sort of the opposite. Some people will embellish and some people will leave something out because it's so trippy. But what I've found is when I've talked to people and sort of got something out of them about that, if they've been willing to, go all out, is that there's sort of synchronicities, with every now and then I'll come across something where usually, they'll say, but I haven't told anybody this. and then they'll tell me, and then the same will happen with another person. You find these, it's like the weird stuff is good because the weird stuff is even weirder than the whole phenomena of what we normally talk about, but this is the stuff that people keep out. And this is sort of, like I said to you the other day, like, I can't believe, even thinking about it myself, that nobody's sort of done a book, which you're doing a book now, just on this aspect of the owls with the alien phenomena, the interdimensional phenomena, and then you took going back into history, and even just people that haven't had interactions with these type of beings, they've had the experience as well, and then you've brought to the front the experience with just the actual physical owls, how they sort of entwine as well. Like, that's something I haven't heard from anyone. But to you, what's, we'll never know exactly what's going on. I think in between lives or at certain times when we meditate or whatever, we've sort of got access to all that is and ever will be. But what do you sort of put this down to? Because it can't be just, an alien thing. And we touched on this the other day, and you sort of touched on it earlier. But what do you think this sort of, when you bring the shamanic thing to it and all that, what's sort of like a ballpark area of the underlying mechanism for this, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I have no idea. My sense is it's a form of communication. That the owls are imparting some sort of communication the same way. I mean, you don't have to actually have a verbal conversation to communicate something. You can walk down a path and there can be a sign that says, pointing in one direction. That's all the communication you need. So my sense is that the owls are somehow trying to communicate something, and whether that's done through an archetype, archetype being that there's a resonance, there's like a humanity has been dealing with owls since we were in the caves, and we pass down, whether through genetics or just through the collective unconscious, we're passing down this inner knowledge, this inner knowing about owls. And that mythology about owls is that the owl, and this is not quite 100% true, but it's very profoundly repeated through all kinds of folklore all over the planet, all kinds of mythology all over the planet. The owl, because it can see in the dark, is the symbol of being able to see into other realms. So looking into the darkness is like looking into some other realm. In this case, it would be the realm where the UFO occupants reside. I don't know where they're coming from. Some people will say they come from a certain planet, often some other solar system. But that, who knows what that really might mean. But I do know they don't come from here in any way that we understand it. So the owls seem to be like the gatekeeper or the the intermediary between this realm and that realm. And that's consistent through almost all of the world's mythologies. So just that alone, like the fellow who sees the owl at the top of the cactus and then the UFO goes over, that's perfect, right? So the owl is the intermediary between this realm where we live and that realm where the UFO occupants live. And somehow they show up at that intermediary zone
Well, I've had
where we
sightings
interact.
before, two of the owl experiences with the big 4 foot owls. I've had sightings, each time before two of them. So I know exactly what you're saying, and I know it's hard to put into words, but you're doing well with it because it's hard for me to even try and put that into words. And you've done a lot more research. Have you,
Ooh, breaking up a little bit.
breaking up, have you found, with the reports that you've done or the interviews with people that you've done pertaining to the owls and all that thing, how many countries or what's, have you talked to more people out of America or have you, you've talked to me and a couple of people in Australia, America, have you done other countries like in either Europe or England or anywhere else?
Not especially English speaking countries.
Yep.
And but not really, but the what is it, so the so I don't have any data. I don't have any direct evidence of whether this is going on in Japan or China or Africa. What I do have is direct evidence that that's part of the mythology of these places. It's very easy to look up that there's, mythology. The Nordic mythology of Northern Europe is similar to the mythology of Japan in the sense that the owls play that same role. The Native Americans where I live here, the owl is seen as a sort of the land-based traditions coming from the Native Americans. The owls have a sort of a dark, foreboding omen of doom. So it's kind of a they're not welcomed. It's seeing an owl is not a welcomed experience in among the Native Americans.
All right. So, how far back is this going back to ancient times with some of the stuff that you found in Japan or Europe and that sort of thing with the stories pertaining to the owls? Do they go back a fair way in history?
Well, they certainly go back way, way back as far as the folklore of the owls. I can't really
Like
tie that
pinpoint.
into whether that it matches the modern UFO abduction thing. What it owls would be, the mythical owl would be the in the ancient Aztec mythology, the owl was the guardian to the lowest levels of what would be hell. The underworld. The owl was the gatekeeper for hell, which is kind of matches, what other traditions would say. In like classical Greek mythology, the owl is a symbol of wisdom because it is the companion to Athena, and Athena was the goddess of wisdom. So from her, so there's a That's one of the rare instances, Athena with the goddess of wisdom, and then there's a Hindu goddess also, I can't remember her name right now, that also has an owl that she rides on, a white owl, and she's the goddess of prosperity. And so there's very few instances of owls being kind of a optimistic power animal, where usually they're portrayed much more as a gloom and doom animal. Even in the Bible, all the references to the owl in the Bible are pretty bleak. They're all kind of used almost, it's less about the owl, but they'll describe some place as like being barren and filled with evil, and then they'll say that's where the owls reside. So even in the Bible, it has this kind of the owl is almost used as a set piece to define someplace creepy and spooky, the same way even now in a little kid's cartoon about a haunted house, you might hear an owl hooting, before the little child walks into the scary haunted house in a Saturday morning cartoon.
Now, this is pretty trippy for me thinking about it when we last spoke, but and I was in agreement with it totally. So when looking at the our situation with the UFO experience of phenomena or abductee, whatever people want to go into it as, it seems as though it goes back to Whitley Strieber's book Communion, but it's like as if, well, I haven't found anything sort of before it that's been written about it, and now you've got these vast array of people from many different walks of life in different places around the world that have brought up the same sort of thing. Have you got any ideas on that, or have you, even since we last spoke, has there been anything pop up sort of before Whitley, or just specifically to do with the abduction phenomena and the owls?
So in Whitley's book Communion, which was published in 1987, it took place, I think it was the in 1985, I think is when the actual event took place. It took a year to write the book. He woke up in the morning after what would be the initial abduction experience that sort of set him off on this journey. But that at night, he remembers looking out the window and seeing an owl on the windowsill. Now, the windowsill, he was in upstate New York, and it was wintertime. It was right around Christmas. It was either the day before or
That
the
was
day
in
after
his
Christmas,
cabin, was it? In his cabin
in
up
his
that way?
cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah, up in so and so the window, and then on the window ledge, it had been snowing, and it had snowed a few days before, and then it hadn't snowed since. very calm. So he remembers the owl peeking in the window. But when him and his wife went to the windowsill, the snow wasn't disturbed. The snow was all pristine right on the windowsill, and there was no other place for the owl to be. So he was like, I remember seeing an owl, but I feel strongly that there couldn't have been an owl on the windowsill. So even right from the beginning, there's this kind of trippy projection quality to it. Now, it's interesting because in his book, he says sometimes people will see owls and they'll also see deer and raccoon and cats, wolves. They'll see Jesus, will appear to them as a screen memory. And so I haven't found any written reference. I'm sure there are some written references where people say, like, "Oh, I had a story with seeing an owl," but there haven't there were there aren't that many UFO abduction books before
Whitley,
Whitley Strieber's Communion.
the sort of
There are,
contactee stories, like
that's interesting. I
George
haven't gone down
Adamski
the
sort of stuff.
exactly, but I haven't gone through and trying to look through those. You know what's actually a great tool, which I found is amazing, is ordering the books on Kindle, because you can,
Search thing, you write it
oh, you
in
can search
search.
things so fast,
Yeah.
and so you get these books and they don't have an index, and like you get a book this thick and like, okay, how do I like go through and look for the word owl in there?
Did
So
that the other day for with Dolores's, I think it was Convoluted Universe 4, it might have been just for you. I was, and that's why I asked you if you'd had heard of that story, because I went to the Kindle and typed in owl and then found it straight away. And
Oh, there is one in the Convoluted Universe, because I have a book called The Custodians.
there's another one in there too.
That's the
I've
one I've
also got that
documented.
on Kindle as well. Something just hit me in the head saying it was Convoluted Universe, but I think it was something about a story where they're
She's
driving the car
driving.
in Hawaii. It might have been the same story, and then an owl came at him, and all of a sudden, I think she appears on the other side of on the other side of Hawaii, with missing time. And then when they did hypnosis, it was a white light being doing a projection of the owl. This might be a different story,
I have a
because
different story, yeah, so.
when we talked, I told you about my two incidences out of the three and being in the car driving, and it seems to be very common. People will be driving and they'll have an experience with the big well, any type of owl. To me, twice it's been, the bloody 4 foot huge ones coming at the car. But if you haven't got that one, I'll see if I can send that to you, or a reference.
Great, I'll look at, there's actually some, I've got some, I mean, it's you can't believe, I mean, if I pull, I mean, you cannot believe how many stacks of books I've got lately. And I've just been kind of like, oh, there's some, they talk about either owls or shamanism in the books, and I'll just go ahead and buy them. And oh my gosh, my the like I've got books stacking up much, much faster than I can read them at this point. So,
Yep. And Jim Sparks as well, you said you got that book. That's
yep.
where I was first referenced and realized that, hey, it was more than an owl that you saw, because they're not that big. But is there any, like, you've talked to a lot of people about this experience with the owls. Is there anything that just hasn't jived, or it might be a one-off type thing, but you think there's something to it? Like, there's something that's just totally out of the ballpark. Not that this is normal, but there's sort of synchronicities, but is there anything sort of that tripped out that you haven't heard anywhere else, but you think there's something to it?
Well, I've certainly heard some trippy stories that involve owls and synchronicity and stuff like that. And I'm sort of at the point now where Whitley Strieber's wife, her name is Anne Strieber, she once said, her, like, the way she checks, or her little own technique for checking to see if someone's hoaxing or trying to deceive her. She basically says, if it's not weird, it's probably not an abduction experience. So if it doesn't have, because it basically doesn't just happen where, it plays out exactly like you would see it on a late night cable TV documentary. It's always some weird element to it. So I have certainly gotten some weird elements to my stories. The thing that's that I'm here's what's been happening to me lately. People are calling me up or emailing me, and they're saying, and it just happened this morning. Happened totally this morning. Someone says, I read your essay, and I read it at night, and I got up this morning, and then I looked out the bathroom window, and there was an owl sitting there. So that has happened to me, I don't know how many times, a lot. And one time it actually happened where someone, and this is actually in the text that you have, I actually added it to the text that's on the PDF. His name is David Whitley, he's a paranormal researcher, and I asked him to review the document before I posted it, before I published it, because I talked about shamanism in it. He knows a lot about shamanism. I didn't want to like be talking out of my hat because I'm certainly no expert on that, but I do talk about it in the essay. And he said, sure. And so he's reading it. As he's reading it, he's sitting at his desk reading the document. Something happens, flits by his window. He turns his head and looks outside, and he sees an owl land on a tree branch right outside his window. And I say, how long have you lived in that house? He goes, 20 years. So how many owls have you seen around your house? It's like, oh, never, never saw one. That was the first one. So that's happening. And that almost feels like a pure form of synchronicity rather than a, like, that's almost like a little, how do you say it? Like if you're on a boat on the ocean and it's cloudy, right? So it's cloudy, you're on the boat in the ocean. There's no way to tell which direction anything is. The only way you can find your bearing is by using a compass. So in a way, I treat those kind of synchronicities as a compass bearing. Like, okay, that kind of story is giving me a direction. That kind of story is giving me a little reassurance that I'm onto something. So I have a little bit more faith in this avenue of research with those kinds of stories.
You were saying the other day that it's like as if the book is writing itself too, which I've found happens. Like I write my books about, or the last three about my experiences, but sometimes it will get into an aspect where something's been revealed to me, and they're not going to give me any more information, or it's just however it works. But it will be like as if when I get to this point, I need to at least do a ground sort of basis study on a, whether it could be black ops, government, whatever. It will be like as if in the next few days all the information pertaining to that one thing will sort of just fall in my lap without doing too much work. It's sort of just all, is provided for me, whether it's just getting on the net or email sent to me or somebody ringing up and they happen to be, sort of doing this thing, doing that subject, then I just happen to, need somebody to talk to or get pointed in the right direction. That's happened with you, hasn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Where these stories, I'm still, I mean, in the act of, I'm not a great writer, and I have to kind of grit my teeth to sit down and write and kind of really focus on it. It doesn't come easy. It's not like it doesn't just flow out of me. But what's happening is that these stories are just landing in my lap. Emails coming in, just like you said. I went through a phase where all of a sudden there was like a bunch of stories that all revolved around the crop circles in southern England and owls and UFOs. And I just got them boom, 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 all in a, all in a flurry. And you'd follow up on one, and then that person would mention the person that's in the other story because they were both in England at the same time. So like, and then someone would write up something, and then I would, have it as a document, but I wouldn't look at it. And then I would interview someone else, and then I would open the document up after interviewing, and that person that I just interviewed would be in the document. It was very, it just came in that sort of rapid fire cluster like that. And I also had one experience which was really interesting. There's a woman. Her name is Jacqueline Smith, and there was a TV show in the 70s, and it's not that Jacqueline Smith. That was one of Charlie's Angels. That was the actress's name, but it's not the same woman. She did a book where she channeled. She's an animal communicator, so she does straight like animal communication things. Pets that are lost, or pets that are have anxiety issues, and she'll communicate with the pets. She's also an experiencer. She's writing her own book right now on that event. She was writing, she had written a book on like telepathic channeling from owl, or excuse me, animal spirits, and one of them was an owl. So I got the book, I read the owl thing. It was very interesting. It paralleled a lot of kind of, it's interesting because it was in that kind of sort of mystical speak. So it was kind of like I had to interpret how that was fitting in. So I called her to interview her. And then during the interview, she said, like I said to her, said, listen, no, just if those owls ever show up and you want to ask them, can you ask them, like, what's up with the owls and why, like, these UFO abductees see owls more often than not? And then she talked for a little bit, and then all of a sudden she got a little bit halting in her voice. And it was interesting. She was trying to say something, it wasn't coming out, and she kind of literally went, words, words. And then all of a sudden, she started talking as if she was the owl, as if she was the owl energy. And she spoke a lot about she said a couple things, and I didn't really prompt her much. She said that the owls were. They possessed some energy. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but it fit beautifully with the avenue that I had been going down as far as the research, where the owls were, they projected some sort of aura or power that being in the proximity of the UFO abductee before an actual abduction took place would lessen the fear of the abduction. And it was unclear actually what they were radiating. It was kind of almost like they had some sort of like electronic, and they had a field. And as long as you could get in that field, it would somehow lessen the fear and make the abduction experience less traumatic. And then she said that the owls were also archetypes. So the person just wasn't seeing the owl, they were seeing the archetypal image and the archetypal symbology of the owl. And that also played into exactly what I was thinking. So that led me down, I don't know. So channeled material is very hard to trust completely. My sense is that's more like like if you're a detective and you're trying to solve the crime, and one of the witnesses said, "Yeah, I think they ran over that way," then you should probably go over that way and check out what's going on. You don't know the probability of the grand mystery, but going down that direction might be helpful. So that's kind of the way I see channeling. So she gave me these directions to go down, and going down them, I found that it matched really well with the evidence that I've gotten. So that was one example of reaching out to talk to someone. I called her totally out of the blue. We had met very briefly at a UFO conference, and then I followed up, made a point to connect with her, same way I did with you. I just got I got to talk to this person, and I just made it happen. And so that was great. So that was one example where it was, or a couple examples where these things just the how to say it. It's so two things are happening. A bunch of stuff is landing in my lap, really interesting stories, and I feel like these synchronicities are drawing me forward and guiding me the same way a compass on the open ocean would.
Yeah, and no, it will do that. Now it's just funny that that lady said that it's sort of easing the initial shock of when an experience is about to happen, like with the owl. Because personally, that what she said makes sense. But with, for example, my experiences with the big owls, after seeing that, you're sort of shocked to the point where anything could happen next, and it just wouldn't bloody surprise you because you've just been shook that much inside, your emotion, your it's like walking down the street and somebody could come out of the door and go, ah, it's sort of just, what's going to happen after this? Nothing will bloody surprise me. So I could sort of understand that because it's not normal. Like even with the normal owl, with how they can come up close, swoop down, whatever, that's trippy stuff and sort of a bit out there. But when you see like the big ones, and first thing I thought was I didn't know owls get that bloody big when I first initially had the experience. And then talking to my brother, he's like, owls don't get that big, man. But I wasn't thinking, I was just thinking, that was an owl. That was not project. I wasn't thinking of projection or screen memory, and I was having experiences at that, like at that time, they were sort of starting to escalate. So, and it's happened that I've been 5 minutes out of town on the west side, and then probably 15 minutes from my place that way, but it's 5 minutes out of the outskirts on that side of town. So it's been out of town. Has there been many experiences with the big owls? Have they sort of been more out of secluded places, like out of town, or have they been more in town or at people's homes, or is it just all over the map?
They seem to be more in rural environments. I don't have any, I'm trying to think of, in bedrooms. I mean, people see them in their bedrooms, and that's usually a pretty good sign that it's a screen memory. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have any urban environment where people are seeing owls. I'm drawing a blank, but I bet you I do.
Yeah, so it's sort of, it can be all over the map.
Yeah, I mean, as is, it's hard to quantify anything with this. So my sense is that certainly in suburban areas, owls. Oh, actually, in Little Rock, Arkansas, there's a woman who this is there's a great example. This woman who living in Little Rock, Arkansas, saw an owl over 2 nights. One time it was outside her house, and it was interesting because it was dark, so she didn't have a good view of it. But she saw it was man-sized, totally the size of her. And as she got closer, she walked right up to it. She said she got about 5 feet away from it, and it was a big owl standing on top of a garbage can. So that was kind of the thought that it was that big, because when she was far enough away, she was like, "What is that?" It's like it's because she saw it as a big person, but she was seeing the owl in the garbage can in the dark, all this one thing. So she got it right up to it. The owl never moved, and she said it was the strangest thing. It was had this pose with its wings out, and it was didn't move at all, which is weird. And owls can strike these kind of what do you call it, defensive poses to try to intimidate, make themselves look bigger. And it was really strange. She went back in the house, and this is a woman with a lot of UFO experiences. And then she, the next night, was pulling into her driveway, and where the garbage can would have been, as she's pulling in, this owl flies up and over her car. And the way she described it, the first night with the big owl, it was kind of like, that seems a little unusual. It seemed she was describing it as a little too big and a little too wide. But hard to know, you know? And then the second night, which she described, sounded very much like an owl, like just an owl flying. She said it was big, but it wasn't enormous, and it flew. So that would have been in a totally urban area, houses close together, obviously trees and things like that where an owl could live. So that did not happen in the outskirts in a rural area.
Now that's fascinating. Now you touched on this a little bit earlier with the shaman side of things. Would you like to go into that aspect of it? Because I found that interesting talking to you the other day. Sort of like the initiation type aspect of it with the shaman and what they've got to say.
So this goes back to David Weatherly, and I do an audio interview series, pretty much almost exactly what you're doing, therapy. We both said it's the same thing. And one of the guys I interviewed is this great guy that I've met a few times at conferences, and his name is David Weatherly. Do I have his book? I just got his new book here. Oh, I've said it's not on the desk. I could have showed his new book up, but so he's written a few books. And so he had written a book called The Black-Eyed Children. It's kind of spooky, like haunted,
Yeah, I know,
like
yeah, you
story.
know about that. It's trippy stuff, yeah.
So he's written the book called Black-Eyed Children, and he's a great storyteller. And so I was interviewing him, and we were going on and on. And he's also has a lot of experience, having been doing this for. He's almost the same age as me, and he's been doing it since he was 16, so it's like over 30 years, you know. At a certain point in the conversation, I asked, I'm not sure, he might have brought it up. He said, I've had a near-death experience. And I immediately blurted out, you can hear it right on the interview. You have just, bleh, I blurt this out. It's kind of awkward. It kind of came out of nowhere. I said, are you a shaman? And I'm not quite sure why I asked that. I kind of equate someone having a near-death experience to then becoming a shaman. And he said, yes, I am. And I'd read his stuff, and I'd heard him interviewed all kinds of times, and I talked to him for hours, and I'd never heard him say that he was a shaman. And he told these really interesting stories about his, how he got involved in the shamanic stuff, and that's a long story. So there's two questions I always ask, which is funny. I ask him on every interview I do. I ask, "What's up with all the owls?" What's up with all the owls? And everyone will say just exactly what I already said: the mythology of owls, the screen memory, the wisdom, the gatekeeper of the other realms. So all that stuff comes up, and I've heard all that before. So I kind of, and then the other question I ask is, how would you define a shaman? Because my sense is that we live collectively in a world now where there's no, like, whatever. There's a village society. I mean, where where if you had a spiritual crisis or a paranormal crisis or an issue, you would go to the edge of the village and visit the shaman, and they would help you. They would escort you through these. They would be the intermediary. They would play the role of the owl, basically. They would be the intermediary between this world and that world. We don't really have that anymore. My sense is it's the people in this paranormal realm that are filling that space, that are playing the role of the shaman in a way. And I kind of egging, and I kind of want people to say, that's the answer I always want to get, but I never get it. So those are the two questions I always ask every interview. And I never like put those two together. And so I said, what's up with all the owls? I tell him a few of my owl stories, and he very calmly says, well, it sounds like a shamanic initiation. And it just felt like you know, when on a game show, when you win the prize, you correctly, you know, like the bells ring and the lights flash and stuff like that. It felt exactly like that. It was like, this is the answer I've been looking for. It felt so honest. It just rang so true. And so I trust that gut feeling. So from that point on, I kind of looked at the owl thing, you know, is it shamanic in its nature? Is the presence of the owl part of a shamanic initiation? And you know, what is the role of the shaman? You know, we live in a world, this Western society, where we don't really have that. So I'm kind of like, don't want to say I'm grasping at straws, because I feel like I've got a pretty good vision of it, but the owl would be a, as well as the UFO abduction process itself, as well as the near-death experience itself, is sort of clues. Those are the same kind of clues that a shaman would pick up on. So if you're experiencing those things, in a way to treat them as clues, and then I don't want to say it's your duty, but you're given a chance to have a spiritual awakening. That sounds very lofty, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. So, if you look at like just a ballpark percentage, except like you know, like we talked about, there's people who have had these experiences with the owls that haven't or don't have conscious recall or have never had an experience with the UFO or otherworldly beings. What would be the percentage out of 100% that have that are UFO abductees that have had experience with the owls, and what would be the percentage that wouldn't? Just on a ballpark, not saying it's definitely certain, but just in out of all the stuff you've done, would it be more so the UFO abductees had these experiences than the person who has not been abducted or seen a UFO?
I would say so. Now, so my data is totally skewed, right? Because I'm factoring that these things are arriving to me synchronistically, right? So the information I'm getting, don't ask me how, it's being filtered through the netherworld. It's arriving in my lap. I also, if you Google owls UFO, my name comes up first thing. So if someone's like saying like, what are I saw this owl, I saw this UFO, it happened at the same time. Let me get online, I'll Google this. So it's arriving in my lap. You know, those people are finding me. So my data is completely skewed. My sense is that it's probably a small percentage of the people with UFO experiences that are actually having the combination owl experience. It's a fairly large percent that are finding their way to me. That's my sense. I don't know whether that's 10% or 1% or 30%
No,
being
that's cool,
small.
because I did think about that before. I'd thought about that in the past before ever hearing of you or talking to you, and that's why I said, you know, it doesn't surprise me because I knew that there was something bigger behind it. Like, even how we're talking about the aspect that whatever mechanism, whether it's ET or interdimensional or something totally far out there that we can't even conceive it, there's, you know, some mechanism and some commonality why it's doing what it's doing and appearing how it's appearing. It's just, you know, there's so much to it. It just you can't just say, oh, yep, somebody has an owl experience. Oh, that was a grey, you know. And that's what you're saying when we first talked. That was sort of where you're thinking at the start, but then, or just a UFO aspect in ours. But once you got into it, it sort of, you know, it went from a narrow to a whoa, you know, expect anything type of thing goes now.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting is I've been reaching out to UFO researchers, and I'll say, you know, have you had any experience with owls? any stories that you can share that came up in your research with owls? And they'll say, some will say, well, the screen memory sometimes shows up as owls. And they won't really go beyond that. And I'm like, that I want, I mean, those stories are very interesting and they're part of the bigger picture, but I kind of, and then that, then nothing there, I mean, obviously the screen memory is a big, profound experience, but, so I've been contacting Mary Rodwell. I asked her any
Yes.
experience with owls, and she's like, no, not really. And I contact, as many people as I can. I'll figure out a way to get a hold of them and just ask them a question, often through email. They'll get back to me and they'll say, no, not really. So the researchers who are dealing with hundreds of people say, no, owls, maybe a little bit. The screen memory thing shows up. People see an owl at night, missing time afterwards, that kind of thing. And then I go to the experiencers directly. And I'm just like, I'm asking everyone at this point. So, through Facebook, someone like, oh, this guy wrote a book, and like, oh, he's got some, or he's had, he's open with his UFO experiences, and I'll ask him, and invariably, when I ask the individual, they'll say, oh yeah, I've got some weird owl experiences, and then some of them will be screen memories, and some will be real owl experiences, and so that to me is fascinating that the researchers aren't seeing it except as kind of just like a basically a mask that's worn, in some of the screen memory events, where I'm finding it more often than not just by reaching out to people who say they've had the contact experience in their life. It's not 100%. Some people say no, don't have any experiences with owls, but it's more often than not that they do have those experiences.
Just when you get the book done, and even now with the PDF you've got out, the owls and the UFO abductee, I think it's something that anybody could read, whether they're into the paranormal or the spiritual side, or they're an abductee or have nothing to do with it, but they're just like, these are trippy stuff, big owls, what's this about? And something that hasn't been honed in on, it's something that hasn't just been looked at just that yet, and that's what you're doing. And I think that's going to bring a lot to the plate for a lot of people who it will sort of be, I think personally, it'll sort of be like the book to go to pertaining to owls.
Well, it's not written yet, so
Yeah, no, but
the
just doing the, re and it's going to, like you said, it's a big job, it takes a lot, and I understand that with the books that I've done. But it is something that hasn't been done yet in the extent that you're looking at doing it.
And that's been exciting because there's a lot of books out there that are, I hate to say this because every story is interesting, but I have a lot of first person UFO experiencer books. People wrote it in the first person, and they're all interesting. They've all got something to share, but in a way, it's the same story over and over again. It's an amazing story because usually by the time they write the book, they've overcome something. It is exciting to be sort of breaking. It's not like a whole paradigm is going to unfold before us, but to just go down an avenue, a trail that's leading somewhere where no one's really gone extensively. Other people have certainly written about owls, but it's usually only a couple paragraphs in a book.
Maybe even Brad Steiger would be someone to talk to, having 160, 170 books.
I asked
I
him.
don't know him, but I'd love to talk to him about so many things because doing that many books and the variety. Has he, so you've talked to him?
He's one of the people I asked, and he said like owls. He gave the correct answer. He gave the mythology answer that I started with. That the owls are the gatekeepers of the other realm. That they're associated with death. They've got a rich folklore of as a power animal that's very rich in all kinds of sacred traditions. Now, so in that PDF, there's one story that's interesting, and a friend of mine edited it. For me, and she was like, "Well, this person doesn't have any UFO stuff." I'm like, "Oh no, but so there's this one guy. He contacted me, and was contacting me about something totally different. I do illustration stuff. He contacted me about some illustration stuff that I'd done, and then he said, "Oh, and by the way, I had an owl thing," and I was like, "So he said he was. He referred to it as a sickness. I'm not going to use his name. He said I was sick, and I was in the hospital, and then when I came out." I had, a, you know, everything had fallen apart in my life. And the first job I got was at an owl sanctuary. And he said I was right in the cage. I would have to climb in the cage with the owls. And as like a, I almost want to say as like a, like an artist or like the cinematic image of the guy climbing in the owl cage is just so perfect. And so I asked, what was your sickness? And it took a few back and forth emails, and finally said, well, it was a, basically it was a nervous breakdown, a total emotional collapse. So that's before that. And so his owl experience is climbing in the cage with him. So before the owl experience, he climbs in the cage. And then afterwards, he was, he said, you know what was really interesting? After that whole thing, so the nervous breakdown, climbing in, you know, the owl working at the owl sanctuary, and then his rehabilitation, you know, he was art, he was drawing. He had never drawn before. He was having spiritual experiences. He was having psychic experiences. So he was having like a Kundalini awakening or a spiritual awakening. And so I can't separate the owls from that whole narrative. You know, like if I was going to make a movie and I wanted to have some sort of poetic visual thing to tell the story for me, I would just basically have the character work at an owl sanctuary and climb in the cage with the owls, you know, so the audience could visually drink that in. And so anyway, so I included that one specifically because it didn't have anything to do with UFOs, but it had, in my opinion, everything to do with the pattern.
Yeah,
You know, something's
awakening.
going on before the owl experience, something happens afterwards.
Is there many people like yourself and me that I had more than that have, you've talked to? Is there a large percentage or not that are like yourself and me where they've had more than one owl experience? Because I've had three and you've had 10 or
Well,
more,
you'll
I
see.
think,
Look,
something
when you
like
get, depends
that.
how you look at it. In the, some are pretty. Yeah, I've had a more than three, and I'm convinced that all of them were real owls. Your stories sound very much like screen memories. The fact that they were so tall,
Exactly. They're so
and
bloody big. Yeah, they're not, they weren't real, even though they were solid or whatever. However, they do the projection or the, it was something projecting an image of something else of itself, or, you know, it's a mind thing, who knows? But that's one thing I thought I'd ask because, you know, it's, I've heard a lot of our stories. There's one lady I know that's had more than one experience, but it's not something that, you know, I sort of think about all the time to bring up.
you know, there are people who've had lots. There's one woman that I talked with. She was a abductee. She didn't know it in her youth. Her father is an abductee. He's since shared it with her. They lived at the edge of a forest. She, this is really, she had an apple tree in the backyard, and there's these little owls. I don't know if you have them. They're called saw wet owls. Sometimes they're referred to as elf owls. They're only about this big. They're super cute. And they're very bold, and they'll actually let you hold them. So she would, as a little girl, would be able to hold owls in her backyard by the apple tree. And then she was driving around with her father one time, and her father was a naturalist, and she's also a naturalist. And they saw some owls flying around a light post. There were a lot of them. So they got out, and they, got out of their car, stopped the car, and the owls came over and flew over them. And for some reason, they laid down on their backs, totally just like what I described earlier with Kristen and I. They laid down on their backs, and these owls flew over them. She counted 12 of them, and the father was taking pictures straight up at the owls and at twilight. And he later figured out from the markings that they were barred owls, which is one of the bigger owls we have in North America. So 12 owls. So that happened. She later, so Dr. John Mack had his, you know, was working with patients. This would have been in the early 90s, early to mid 90s. He had invited people over to his home to have a, like a support group meeting. So all the, like a handful of people came over. These friends carpooled all together. So there was three or four people in this car. They all drove at one point. At the end, they pulled out and they drove away. And as they were driving away, they kind of turned to each other in the car and they said, "So what'd you think?" And then at that moment, an owl flew over the car, a white owl from behind and in front, and led the way. So flying in front of them, leading the way in the headlights, and then flew off. Great big white owl. Very first support group meeting at one of the pivotal researchers in the whole lore of the abduction thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And so she's had both, and it was interesting because that sounded like a real owl. She said it was big, it was white. She's a naturalist, she's good with birds. She didn't describe it as being overly big, but the image I have in my head is the owl, like, basically standing on John Mack's house, kind of like, doo doo doo, are these guys going to be done soon? You know, like, I've got to make my appearance. And then they get in the car, and then they drive off, and then the owl, whoosh, you know, and then aligns very nicely with their kind of like, how was it? Did that work? Was that good?
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
One thing that I just thought of asking you then when you're talking about the little midget owls, I was watching a video not too long ago, might have, oh, could have even been half a year ago, of baby owls. You know? But what got me, I don't know how much you can remember with interacting with greys or if you can fully, you know, actual seeing them move. What got me, if you look at, I think it was a baby owl. It might have been one of the midget type you're talking about, but I thought it was baby owls. Have you seen a baby owl, how they move their neck? Because that
No.
reminds me of how greys move their neck, and I sort of freaked out and couldn't watch it.
That's interesting because certain owls have all black eyes,
Yep.
and certain owls have either yellow or orange eyes.
Well, if you
And
can, I don't know where to point you, and I can't remember where I saw it, but it was video. Could have been on TV, it could have been on the net, I can't remember specifically. But this baby owl, there was a couple of them, and how they move their neck is how grey move. I can't do it myself. It looks unco. It just doesn't look right. But that's a baby owl, and that's how they move their neck. And it was, I thought, that's how the bloody greys move their neck. I've seen them, you know, poke their head around the doors and then walk in the rooms in here. And, you know, I can remember experiences with them, but that's what I thought about just then when you said that was, that's right, I'll ask you because, you know, you've seen them and you know what owls are and that's your specialty, but I just didn't know if you'd seen it, but see if you can find a video of it. I don't know how to reference it to you, but just a baby owl, if you look at how they move their neck, I personally had to like stop watching it because it was just like as if I could picture a grey doing exactly that.
Now, so owls are unusual because they have a different neck than almost any other bird. They have a specialized neck because, unlike most birds, so like I can move my eyeballs right and left like this, right? Owls can't. They are like locked.
Oh, I
Their
didn't know
eyes are
that.
only locked in one direction. That's why they have that very unusual stare to them. And they also have that very sort of robotic, adult owls have a very robotic way they turn their head.
Well, I've seen adult owls move, but it's exactly how the babies do it. I don't know what the difference is if it hasn't grown enough and developed enough, but definitely a baby owl. Like
Huh,
just
that's it.
how.
They're referred to as owlets. Yeah, the babies. That's so interesting. Now it's this is gets very strange. Do you have any number synchronicities like in your life, like numbers that show up over and over again?
The 11s, the 3s, the 4s, and the 5s.
Okay, so I get 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I've got that a few times. Yeah.
Well, actually, 1, 2, 3. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows up to me all the time when, and I haven't looked at the counter. So I got a little counter how long our phone call has been going on, our Skype call has been going on. So when you were talking about the owls, I was like, oh, this is good. This like I was kind of like, I need to like figure this out and check this out and for the book project. Like I was being selfish, like this is for my book project. And I looked at the time counter is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
Trippy.
when you were saying that. So
Well, I don't like, as I even said to you when we last spoke, I don't think all my owl experiences, although they've got to be projection or some mind thing because they're too darn big, but I don't think all of them are done by greys. I think there's something else with, you know, it could be a mixture. But I just thought I'd ask you that because, it's just weird that it's a projection type thing, but when I saw this little baby owl, I just couldn't look at it because it how it, you've just got to see it anyway. But I won't go on about it. I just wanted to hit that up to you because this is, you know, your forte. This is what you do. And I don't, has anybody brought that up to you at all?
no, but I've heard many people talk about the way that a gray will bob their head,
So you haven't
and
seen
they'll.
him do the. I can't
I
do it.
have
It's
no. I mean, I
weird.
have no memory at all of anything like that.
Yeah.
And whether that ever happened or not, I can't say. But But I have certainly seen people do exactly what you've done, where they've tried to describe it, they've done a little head bob, and then they kind of say, like, no, it's,
Yeah.
they basically gave the same description you did.
It looks just unco. It just, I can't explain it anyway. It just, how it moves does not look functional, but it looks, oh, I don't know, but just watch the baby owl, and that's what I've said to people. If you want to see how they move their neck, because it's trippy, especially how they'll walk around, like the doors in here will peek around, or when they're walking directly up to you and they'll go from one head tilt to the other tilt. And just how the maneuver is in the neck, it just doesn't. I can't see anything besides an owl, animal-wise, or even. I haven't seen a human be able to replicate how that head maneuver is, and it's just weird that an owl does it, a baby owl at all. Wasn't thinking about it, just happened to watch it, and here it is on a video somewhere, and it's moving, and it's just like, that's really trippy stuff. But, have you heard anything about big crows or three big crows?
I've certainly heard people who have experience with crows. There's some folks that, there's one guy in particular I know who I interviewed, and he's had some experience with crows. And he treats them as his kind of totem animal in a way. That's as good a term as any. So yes, I have. Yeah.
All right. Yep. No, I just thought I'd ask because a friend of mine woke up not too long ago with three crows at the end of her bed, and somebody
In
told
the
her,
house.
and somebody told her that it meant that, and she's been abducted with me. She's an experiencer, and she was just here over the weekend, and we had weird stuff happen in the house and film crafts, and we had an awesome weekend actually of doing contact work. But she told me about that, and I was just like, well, I've heard of the owls, and so, and she's seen the owls as well, big owls. But I didn't know what to say to her, and somebody said to her, it's something about a, it's a metaphor for change, going from one direction to a new or something. But to me, I can't say what it is, but to me, that's just, it wasn't a dream. She woke up, there's three bloody crows, about 4 foot standing at the end of the bed. And I was like, well, I've never heard of that. She wouldn't make, like, she, the
Oh,
shit
how
she
big were
comes
the
up
owl?
with
How
just
big were
could,
the crows?
about 4 foot. It's just
Oh, that's
something
okay.
I know her really well, and she's, she's the real, to me, I know she's the real deal because we've spent a lot of time together. I know her really well, but I just didn't know what to say to her because I had not heard of that before. Owls, yeah, one thing, but three big owls, and she said she could physically see him at the bottom of the bed when she's like, laying in bed looking up, and there they are. And I just didn't know what to say to her. And she was cool with it, but it's something trippy that I hadn't come across before.
So the way I would wrestle with that, I don't have an answer,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
that, what is the mythology with crows that would, my sense is that if that's a screen memory, which might be 4 foot
Yeah, it
tall
could be.
crows,
It definitely could be.
so a screen memory, they're choosing to be crows, and it just feels like they have like a little like, oh, what should we be? What's the appropriate thing to be in this moment? Let's be owls or crows or deer. So these animals have their own mythology connected. So this is where I would talk to a shaman. I mean, the UFO investigators probably won't give you the good a good answer. A shaman might give you the more interesting answer.
It'd be good if they could appear as a marshmallow man from Ghostbusters.
That was
It'd
you can't let that go. Yeah, then you can't let that go in your mind. They'd be bigger than 4 feet tall, though. That was like the
be bloody
yeah.
something different. Well, we'll wrap it up there, and I'd like to have you on in the future sometime. We'll keep in contact because we've hit it off, and we just so much
Oh, this is
learning.
great. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. So thanks for being on the show. What I'll do is I'll put a link to your blog. Where people download this, so they've got a reference point to go straight away. And I might even actually chuck up your blog on my blog, put a link to it in the next few
And
days,
I'll do
because I
the
think.
same on yours because I realize that yours is a wealth of stuff. Now, actually, I have been like before we talked the other day, I went through your blog. I watched I didn't watch all of the documentary. There was one documentary that's right on the homepage.
Yeah,
Watched
yep.
most of that, and I need to finish that, and then listen to a handful of the interviews, and watched a bunch of the videos of the night vision stuff at night, which is other people are recording almost the same thing,
Exactly, yep.
and so it's so strange. Like there's a pattern. Like literally, like people like there's a woman in Sedona who's doing the same exact stuff. and Sedona, Arizona. And so I'm at a loss to know what it all means, but it's your experiences are pretty far out compared to a lot of folks. And
Oh,
I'm sure that
yeah.
there's some nuts and bolts researchers that would look at your stuff and just go like, whoa, can't go there. And then, but at the same time, to me, it's like I'm just seeing the pattern of what you're doing and what other folks are doing. And you know, you're not alone
And that's good for me because I know that a lot of people will stay away because it is pretty tripped out and far out stuff. But at the same time, like I do say to these researchers, is that don't believe a darn word I've got to say, but if just go and talk to others like me. And what you just said, you'll come up with these synchronicities, these commonalities. And that's all I would like for people to find out is that, you know, the commonalities and deal with what they may, because I don't want people to decide if I'm the real deal or not. But there's a hell of a lot of people with very similar stuff going on or stories about their experiences. And yeah, definitely the night vision footage, there's a hell of a lot of it, and then they end up doing what I'm doing and you're doing. You do interviews and you do your blog and, you know, you put everything up. And it's just, I think it's the path we just go down. I think it's, some of it is you said it before, it's sort of healing for us to be able to do outlet. It's a form of outlet to just do it.
Yeah, it very much is a form of therapy, and and I also like, I am so grateful that like when I sort of, so I was in that moment where I talked about like from 2006 to around 2009 where I was freaked out, like freaked out, and it that I'm so glad that came, like if it happened even a few years earlier, that would have been before the internet was easy. I mean, there was obviously some internet and you could do some things on it, but it wasn't like what it is now, where just I never would have met you if it wasn't for the internet. I would have never have met Susan Chancellor. I would have never met Anya Briggs, and Debbie Tripp. I met her through the internet. So this is
Yeah.
like, it is, I mean, I live in a tiny little town. I'm isolated, but I'm so grateful that whatever's going on with me right now is happening and converging at the same time as the internet, because as silly as the internet is, I mean, you can make fun of it. It's got, you know, lots of cat videos and stuff like that. And, but, you know, it does supply us with exactly what's happening right now. Just this dialogue back and forth. You're on one side of the planet. I'm on the other side of the planet. There's an immediacy with what's going on right now that I'm so grateful for.
Yeah, I am too. I'm grateful for people like yourself coming into my life. It's, you know, it's good for the soul, good for the spirit, good for outlet, good for learning, and putting stuff like this out there, it helps others, and that's the main goal too, help them get where they've got to go with what's going on. But I definitely am. I'm grateful for who I am now and the people that I'm able to communicate with. Like, who would have thought that this would be possible 20 years ago, just be able to sit on the opposite sides of the earth and be able to talk how we're talking now too. It's just the internet's a great format for us to be able to do what we've got to do. No ifs or buts about it. So, all right. Thanks again, Mike. And yeah, I'll be putting a link up to your blog. And yeah, I think you've put a lot of food for thought out for people. And yeah, it's something that a lot of people aren't talking about. And I think people are going to find this interview absolutely fascinating with what you've said.
Great. This has been wonderful. So yeah, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Great. Thanks, mate. We'll talk soon.
Okay,
Cheers.
sleep well.